Kathy Davis is probably lying, and Greta Garbo is probably crying, while Robert Taylor is locked in her dying embrace. Chico and Groucho and Chaplin and Lloyd are all super. Sweet Mickey Mouse, Shirley Temple, and dear Jackie.
Let's go to the movies. Let's go see the stars. I'm joined across the desk by our resident movie reviewer, regular-sized Kev, Mr. Kevin Suarez. Kev, good morning.
Good morning, Sean. How are you doing today?
Yeah, very well, thanks, mate. We're talking about a couple of flicks this week. What do we got?
We've got a nautical theme we have. We're looking at Adrift and Hotel Transylvania 3.
You couldn't even keep the accent up for one sentence, let alone the whole review. Okay, fantastic. Adrift and Hotel Transylvania. So first off, Adrift. This is based off loosely based off a true life story of an experienced sailing couple that were sailing a yacht from Tahiti to Hawaii, got hit by a hurricane, and then were set, as the title would suggest, adrift, having to make the rest of the way to Hawaii with a damaged ship and without a radio. What did we think?
Well, I thought, well, you just described it pretty succinctly right there. To be honest, when I read about it, I thought that it doesn't exactly seem quite original, to be honest. It's something that's already been covered many, many times before. I know it's a true story, and it does have a slightly unique angle to it. It also has a bit of a plot twist at the end. I'm not going to ruin it. One of them's an alien. I mean, there is a plot twist, but I do feel that it was a bit poorly written. So it was something that surprised me at the end of the movie, but then the main character just brushed it off, and when she was supposed to be surprised as well. I'm not sure if it was poor writing or poor acting on the movie's part. Other than that, we've already seen this kind of story before, and even though it does have some good acting for the most part and some good production values as well as direction, I actually thought that direction was one of the strongest points, because I've seen many movies set in the sea, and always you know how you always see the camera bobbing up and down because the camera's on a boat as well, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, well, in this case, I don't know how they did it, but the camera's very still, so you're not going to be getting seasickness from watching this movie anytime soon. But ultimately, I did get let down. It didn't really bring anything new to the idea.
Just to touch on this one briefly, you said with sort of one unique twist, and the unique twist to me seems to be that it's a female-led film.
Yes, it
is. It's still something we need to stop and remark upon in this day and age, and yet we don't see a great deal of these films being female-led.
I agree. And it also showed her getting her experience as well. So there's flashbacks showing her inexperience during the first initial couple of voyages, and then finally getting to the point where she may have to rely on only herself for most of the trip adrift, and trying to rely on her own survival instincts, because the male lead, Sam Claflin, ends up getting injured, so he's unable to help out with the rigging or with the fishing and so on. So it's all up to her. And I feel, I suppose, because it was based on what actually happened, and she had to rely on herself for most of the trip. So, but either way, I feel that it was an interesting and a really positive move.
Okay, fantastic. So, good performance from the lead, good direction, but otherwise not a overly spectacular film. Our second one's one for the kids, Hotel Transylvania Summer Vacation.
Yeah, so basically the cast of Hotel Transylvania decide to take a holiday and go on a ship where Count Dracula ends up getting very smitten with the ship's captain. But it turns out that one of his greatest rivals may also be on board as well, hunting them off. I have a feeling that I haven't exactly captured your attention there.
I don't know. This sounds like, Murder on the Orient Express. They're getting picked off one by one, I'm sure.
Right, yeah. To be honest, I actually thought that the voice cast was quite good, to be honest. I know it's got Adam Sandler, Selena Gomez, David Spade. I'll admit, maybe people who we associate with their careers peaking around the 2000s, perhaps. They haven't really put out anything remarkable nowadays, but
well, Andy Samberg is in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Well, I'd call that pretty remarkable. I love that show.
I was actually going to say that the voice cast even though maybe the careers have peaked in the 2000s or so, actually give a very, very good and solid performance here. And especially Andy Samberg and Mel Brooks, who we love from all of these lovely comedies from like the 80s onwards. Surprisingly, he's in the cast as well. So
Mel Brooks, it's terrific to see him still doing some stuff. That's fantastic.
Especially comedies, like lampooning the whole horror genre.
He's hilarious. He's a very, very funny guy. A guy I really look up to and respect. And
I agree.
It's terrific to see him still doing some stuff. Yeah.
I agree. And normally, I don't normally comment on this sort of aspect of most films. But since it's a kids' film and, you know, you want to bring your kids along and make sure that they're getting a good message out of it, it does have a good moral, which is for the kids to don't let your parents' prejudices influence you or your father figures or adults' prejudices influence how you develop. And it's part of the plot. I don't really want to give too much away of it, but I do feel like it's an admirable quality to try and instill in kids.
Yeah, that's a nice one. A nice one in this day and age. Yeah. So,
especially with the current political landscape in America. Yeah, but okay. Anyway, that being said, I do feel that the humor with the film was very inconsistent and sometimes a bit juvenile. I'll admit that some of the jokes were quite clever, but on other occasions, like for example, a big part of the plot revolves around Count Dracula getting onto some sort of Tinder proxy. And I'm like, this is really cringy. Like the whole scene, I'm cringing going, why? Why is this a thing? Why did they think this was a good idea for an audience of, you know, like 7-year-olds? Maybe it's for the parents, but even then, I don't think that excuse can work with having Count Dracula on Tinder. And also, there are some references to, I think, a bit more obscure things. Things that you may appreciate. For example, two like Lovecraftian monsters end up getting married, and I thought it was really funny. And you know,
love a little bit of Lovecraft, yeah,
exactly. But I think that the references and the jokes would just sort of whoosh over the young kids' heads. I think that perhaps they should have tried to aim towards a slightly older audience who would get more of the jokes, I feel.
But, all right, well, there we go. Adrift and Hotel Transylvania, the two fix for the week. Kev, thank you very much.
You're welcome.